Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love.
Hello, and welcome to the online service of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. My name's Nathan, and I work for the church. Have you ever been the wrong way in a one-way system? Perhaps you've done that while you were driving. You missed the signs and you accidentally went the wrong way. Maybe you did it deliberately because it was just a short stretch of road and you had somewhere that you needed to be. On more than one occasion during this strange season, I found myself going the wrong way in a one-way system at a shop. Sometimes that was accidental. Other times I have to admit that I did it on purpose because I had somewhere that I needed to be, so I picked up my essential items as quickly as I could. As we engage with this online service, I want to encourage all of us to do that in a two-way way. I want us to bring all of who we are and be ready and expectant to engage and interact with the living God. We may have come to an online service or even an in-person service and brought all of who we are, and yet we've missed God. We didn't open up ourselves or the channels of communication properly, and so it was just one way. I want to pray for us that we would all engage in a two-way way, that would open all of who we are and be ready and expectant to hear, interact and engage with God. And I'm going to pray for God's help to do that. Dear God, help us to engage with you right now in a two-way way, that we would open up ourselves and that we would be ready for you. Amen. Ed and Sophie Borrett are going to lead us in sung worship now.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem, your renown. Fill the sky, we are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. We love our
Lord, I pray. God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the story about my friend King Dave? Wouldn't let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I'll watch him fall. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the one about the guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said, thrown to the den of the scary beasts, but God saved a hero from the lion's teeth. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. More than history, he will do the same for me. Like Jonah in the whale at sea, when I'm lost and afraid, alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me.
I wonder how you wake up in the morning. Maybe you've got an alarm clock. Or maybe you have someone knock on your door and call your name. I remember being on a youth camp once, and each morning the leaders woke us up in a different way. One morning it was loud music, another day it was water pistols in our face. But I think the worst day was when they came in banging and clanging on pots and pans. Today's story is about Samuel, who we last met last week as a baby when Hannah gave him up to the temple as a sacrifice so that he could learn. Samuel in this story is still a child, but he's a bit older now. He's probably about 10 or 12 years old. And he was looked after by an older man called Eli. And I wonder how Samuel was woken up in the middle of the night. Let's find out. Now that God's people were living in their own land, there were so many things he wanted to tell them. How to be happy, how to take care of each other, and how to protect themselves from their enemies. So God decided to choose someone to speak for him. Someone who he could talk to, who would then go and talk to the people. Someone called a prophet. God looked and looked all over the land of Israel, eager to pick just the right person. And finally he found him in the village of Shiloh, in the house of Eli the priest. A little boy. Samuel, God called one night. Samuel, I want to talk with you. Samuel sat up and rubbed his sleepy eyes. He'd never heard God's voice before, and he thought old Eli was calling him. Samuel stumbled into Eli's room to see what he wanted, but Eli just shooed him back to bed. Samuel, God called again. Samuel, listen! Samuel was confused this time and a little scared, so he crept back into Eli's room.
Samuel, I told you, boy, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. I don't know. kids these days.
Samuel didn't know what to think as he crawled under his covers. But when God called, "Samuel, Samuel," for the third time, he knew what to do. He dashed back to Eli just as fast as he could.
"Oh, man, why me? Oh, all right, Samuel. Come here, lad. Come here. Listen, if any of us are going to get any sleep tonight, we need to find out who's calling you. I think I might have an idea of who it is. But we're going to have to get you to do something now. So instead of coming into my room and waking up poor Elijah, I need you to stay in room, yeah? And when you get woken up, just say these words. Just go, 'Speak, Lord, and I will listen.' Alright?"
Samuel's eyes opened wide.
"You mean it's God calling me? Maybe, maybe. But if you do what I say, we're going to find out together. Alright? Night, Samuel."
So Samuel went back to bed. And it wasn't long until God called his name again. This time, Samuel stayed there and listened to God, and his eyes opened wide with wonder. And from that moment until Samuel himself was an old man, God talked to Samuel, giving him many messages to pass on to the people. And just like the first time, God's messages never failed to leave him wide-eyed with wonder. I hope you enjoyed the characters in that story. My favourite part was when Eli forgot his own name. You can't get the staff these days. Did you notice that they looked really similar? But I also really loved how excited Samuel got when he knew he was hearing God's voice for the first time. You see, Samuel had learnt lots about God before this point, but he didn't have a relationship with him. He was obedient to God and listened to what he had to say. This helped Samuel to develop a really good and sound relationship with God. And we'll see in the next few weeks how people look to Samuel for advice from God. I wonder if we can learn from Samuel. Maybe think about how you could listen to God this week. I wonder what he might like to say to you as his precious son or daughter. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you speak to us and want a relationship with us. Help us to have open ears and open hearts to hear your voice. Amen.
How are you finding engaging with this service in a two-way way? Have you heard the voice of God while we've sung praise together and engaged with Hannah's all-age talk? I want us to make sure that we don't mistake the voice of God for something else, that we don't explain it away as a passing thought. So right now, you might want to take a moment to share something that you've sensed you've heard with someone that you're engaging with. Or if you're listening or watching this on your own, perhaps you can make a phone call or send a text message, pop something in a WhatsApp group. Let's stay connected together and encourage one another with what we sense God is saying to us. If you're brave and you're engaging with the live stream, you might even want to put something in the live chat. As Ruth leads us in prayer, and Pippa brings our Bible reading, and then Lisa from Skipton Baptist Church brings our sermon, let's continue to engage in a two-way way. Let's be ready to interact with God through all of these elements. And let's not explain God's voice away as something, someone, or just a fleeting thought.
Let's pray together.
Father God, I thank you that we can come before you and we can bring all the big things and all the little things that are going on in our lives. There are so many big things going on in the world today, and I thank you that you are bigger than them all, even those things that seem impossible. And so, Lord, we pray for COVID-19, this virus that continues to spread. Lord God, would you stem that tide? Lord, would you put a stop to new variants? Lord, would we see the numbers continue to fall and fall quickly? Lord, would we see the numbers of those dying start to go down? And Lord, thank you for the vaccine that is being rolled out. Lord, I do pray that those who need the vaccine would get it quickly. And Lord, across the whole world, that those who do need the vaccine, Lord, there are some who might not be able to have the same access that we have in this country. Lord, please bring relief from this pandemic. And I pray for all those who are key workers who are continuing to put their lives at risk. Lord, would you protect them? Would you sustain them? And Lord, I pray for each of us in different situations, Lord, for parents who have recently found out that schools will be closed for longer, for those who are living on their own and facing day in, day out that loneliness, Lord, those who just want to be able to plan and do things and go on holidays again. Lord, those who are working and have been working for a long time in very busy environments, Lord, and then just feel like they're going to burn out. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, that you would give us what we need, and Lord, that you would help us to look to you, that we wouldn't look at what is going on around us, but that we would have our eyes fixed firmly on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and that was not many versions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At the time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering."
So, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your online worship. My name is Lisa Holmes, and I'm the lead minister at Skipton Baptist Church, not far, just up the road, in fact. I'm married to Mike, and we have two older teenagers, two cats, and a black whippet called Jess. So that's probably pretty much all you need to know about me this morning. I wonder how many of you on a Saturday morning put on Radio 2. Part of the show there, there's this very short clip called The Mystery Voice. And so they just play this really, really tiny clip and people have to call in with their guesses as to who it is. And some of them literally last for months. They are so hard to decipher, whilst others are just guessed in a matter of weeks or even hours. Then there's ITV's somewhat crazy programme, The Masked Singer, where individuals perform songs in incredible and bizarre costumes, and the judges, who are equally bizarre, have to try and work out who is singing behind the mask. Both of those examples are about recognising someone's voice, and so is this story that we are looking at this morning. Perhaps one of the main weaknesses of this chapter is that we are somewhat used to the Sunday school version. I mean, it's a fab story to tell kids. It's about a child and it has lots of repetition in it. So please don't think I'm criticising that. It's just that sometimes we forget to look at it again as adults. So the story is that Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli's supervision. According to the historian Josephus, Samuel may have been about 12 years old. We don't know that for sure, but at 12 years old, a Jewish boy's bar mitzvah took place and they had that transition between childhood and adulthood. So it kind of makes sense that he may have been about that kind of age. These were challenging times for the people of God. The word of the Lord had been rare and there were not many visions. This was a time in Israel's history when they were out of communication with God. There was the occasional prophet, such as the man of God in chapter 2, but generally no prophetic words from God to Israel. And this was not a good thing. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And that's definitely what was happening in Israel at that point. There was no revelation from God and people just did whatever they wanted, much as we experience in our own times. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, it says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." And there is a sense of judgment in God's silence, the withholding of his word. And it's about to change. Samuel is the first named prophet since Moses. And with this calling, God instituted the prophetic office to operate alongside the kingship in Israel. As we read the story, we can see that the details around Eli, the high priest, are quite symbolic and really represent what is going on in the culture. Eli's eyes are weak physically, but he also seems to have a weak spiritual vision. Eli didn't seem to be very discerning when it came to spiritual things. For example, he thought that Hannah was drunk, but actually she was desperately praying in the temple. And he did nothing when his sons made a complete mockery of the priesthood and committed all sorts of atrocities, forgetting their role as priests in Israel. Fading eyesight, fading vision, symbolic of a time in Israel when the word of the Lord was rare. But before you despair too much, we are also told that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. The priests were required to keep the lamps burning in the temple every night from evening until morning. It says that in Exodus 27. So this detail places the timing of Samuel's call late in the night, perhaps shortly before the dawn, and gives us a ray of hope, even at the darkest moments. The word of the Lord was rare, but God had not given up on his people. The lamp of God had not gone out. So get your imaginations working with me for a moment, will you? All of Israel has settled down for the night, and the high priest, Eli himself, is lying down in his own place, away from the responsibilities of the temple. The nation is in a state of visionless sleep, oblivious to the voice of God. Even as the temple sinks into darkness, however, God has not completely forsaken Israel. A single lamp illuminates Samuel, sleeping dutifully beside the ark. This is the first time the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned, but it's going to become very important in subsequent chapters. And we should pay attention to where they are sleeping. While the high priest lies in the comfort of his own room, The boy lies near the very symbol of God's presence. And this contrast identifies Samuel as the glimmer of light in an otherwise dismal situation. And it is precisely in this moment of transition from day till night, a moment characterised by ambivalence and ambiguity, that the word of God strikes. And that's so often true, isn't it? It's often in the transitional times, the liminal times, where we're on the threshold of one thing and another, the betwixt and the between times, that we are most open to and most likely to hear the voice of God. And God speaks. Not to Eli or to his sons, who are the expected people who would hear from God, but to a child. It's so unexpected that Samuel repeatedly fails to recognise it. In fact, it says in verse 7 that the word of the Lord has not yet been revealed to him. But from the very first time he hears the voice calling his name, he is responsive and obedient, which demonstrates something of the quality of his heart. Now, too many of us have watched those dreadful Hollywood movies where whenever God speaks, there's some kind of weird sound effects or what I call angel music, or a voice that sounds something like the actor Brian Blessed. But look here, when Samuel heard God's voice, he thought it was Eli, the one who'd been like a father to him, who, despite his imperfections, had taught him everything he knew about the Lord and of worship. The person who he knew best and trusted best. So yes, it takes Eli a while to work out that it's God speaking, but hey, it is the middle of the night and God hadn't been saying that much recently. Oh, and it gives hope to the rest of us when we're a little slow on the uptake and fail to recognise God speaking to us the first, second or even third time. But he does eventually realise and give Samuel some very wise advice. Next time you hear him calling, Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So here's a few helpful things to remember. It's always good to make sure you're spending time in the Lord's presence. Samuel was lying by the ark, close to God. It's always good to expect that God might want to speak. We have a God who longs to communicate with us and is very persevering in getting through to us. A great prayer that we might want to use is the same one Samuel used. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." But then you actually do have to actively listen and not nip back to your phone to check on Facebook. In our context, we need to check out everything we believe God is saying with the whole of Scripture. Is it consistent with what God has already said and the kind of things he says? Does it sound like the Lord you encounter in Scripture? So are you up for a little Hebrew lesson this morning? The word here, Shema, means hear. The root of that is what we see in the name Shemuel, Samuel, God hears. But it's also the word used for listening, the same root there, Shema. Hearing is, if you like, physical listening. But listening is the activity that ensues when we really, truly hear. But that's not all. The word for obey is pretty much the same as the one for listen. Because when we truly listen, then obedience is the heart attitude and godly behaviour is what follows on from that. Are you still with me? Now, for any of you with children or dogs, I'm sure that you will get this. Because I am speaking to my children does not mean that they are even hearing, although optimistically I choose to believe that they are. It most definitely does not mean that they are listening. In fact, "are you actually listening?" often creeps out in my communication. And because they have listened and can repeat the words verbatim that I've just said to them, does not necessarily mean that they have heard. For example, the many times I have asked for the washing up to be done, the recycling to be taken out, or the bedrooms to be hoovered, and several hours later have to own up to the fact that listening did not translate into action, obedience. So was it truly listening? The kind of listening the Lord longs for in us is a listening that leads to obedience, where hearts are touched and actions are transformed. When those around us cease listening and responding, then we might stop speaking. After all, what's the point? And that's what happened in those dark days in 1 Samuel. It's not what we want or need right now. Of course, God has spoken primarily through his son Jesus, but he's still looking for those who will listen to him and obey. So let's just briefly finish the story, because we find here the perfect model for giving and receiving God's words. Eli asked Samuel to tell him God's word, hiding nothing. It's a very tough word for Samuel to share, which is why I think he maybe wasn't less than 12 years old. But Samuel faithfully tells him everything God has told him, leaving nothing out. Eli humbly receives God's word, saying, "Hear the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." Eli recognises that what he's hearing from Samuel is what the man of God has revealed to him already in 1 Samuel 2. There is a consistency in the message. Listen, how many hours have we all spent on Zoom in these past months or other equivalents? One of my never-ending experiences, and I'm sure that yours, is this. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No. I can see your lips moving, but you're on mute, followed by, if you just press the space bar, or if you click on the mic icon, etc., 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 fill in the rest yourselves. Of course, if like me, you are often the host of the meeting, you can choose to mute people. This is the best thing that's ever happened to many church pastors. I jest, of course. But the other thing that happens to me is that I've often been listening to music on my headphones plugged into my laptop, and then I join a Zoom call, the headphones lying on the desk, and I can't hear because I am no longer plugged into the sound. So when God is speaking, can we hear him? Now, listen, I don't think he's on mute, though he says that there are seasons when the word of God is heard more often. More challengingly, have we muted him? We don't want to hear what he's saying. We close the scriptures. We don't pray. We aren't listening. Or are we just being a bit foolish or unaware and we want to listen, but we need to work out why we can't hear? Finally, sometimes we know that God has spoken. He is speaking, but we'd like him to move on and to say something else to us. We don't actually like what he's telling us. And the truth is that hearing needs to come with responsive obedience. Often it's our obedience to what God has already revealed that will unstop our ears to what he then wants to say to us. This is a time when we need to hear the word of God personally, nationally, and globally. We are inundated, overwhelmed even, with words, opinions, podcasts, online content. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning in it all. And what we need most is the voice of the Lord. So I encourage you to set up a space metaphorically close to the Ark of the Covenant, a place where you know you go to meet with God, to encounter him, to read scripture, to listen, to wait, to give him time and to ask him to speak to you, knowing that your heart is ready to be obedient to him. And if he says, forgive that person in your life, change your attitude, serve your community, love your neighbour, sacrifice whatever it is, or something else that sounds like Jesus, then do it, because that truly is the message of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this morning our greatest prayer might be, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For you personally, for the church where you congregate, even scattered, and for us together as God's people in our nation at this time, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that we hear and listen and obey with all of our hearts. It's been lovely to share with you this morning. God bless you in all that you are doing together in Leeds. It's really thrilling to see what God is doing among you.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Saviour, see the image of
sun. Salvation, tearing through the dead of night. See the kingdom burst into colors at the speed of light. Freedom, shaking up the atmosphere. As the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on a Savior. See the image of love, sing His praises forever. Creation, waking up to kingdom come. See the hope of heaven shining like the rising sun. Now forever lifted up from death to life. There's no fear in love and no darkness in His endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior. His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love, sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
I need not, nor man. For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Now that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because she says, the Lord has Shamad, that I am unloved. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Now there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, I will listen and do what you say, you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, they have ears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word Shema.
That video from the Bible Project reminded us that listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. Lisa has challenged us that we should not just listen, but hear and act upon the Word of God. Jesus himself said that he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. James wrote and warned that we should not deceive ourselves and merely listen to the word, but that we should do what it says. As we've engaged together with this service in a two-way way, God will have spoken. And we need to act quickly. And you might be able to act immediately on what God has spoken. Perhaps sending that message to a neighbour in need, perhaps readying a food parcel for a family down the road. For other things, God might have spoken to you about something in the long term, but you can still act quickly. Maybe you'll set a reminder on your phone to continue to listen to God on that subject. Again, perhaps you could share it with an individual or a group that you're part of, so that we can be on that journey together, discovering what God is saying to us and acting upon it. If you're engaging with this online service on Sunday, then we'll have an opportunity to go to our Zoom room and share with one another. It might be that even there, you want to share what you sense God has said and that the others who are there can hold you account to act upon it. I pray that all of us would be listeners and doers of the word, that we would follow Jesus' example, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to keep us in step, and that through all those things, God would be glorified. Amen.